You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
There. What did you say then? You can't
I've
hear.
Got nothing in my headphones.
We're just preparing, waiting for the doc to call in. So we're tensing up. Why can't you hear on your headphones, Don? You should be able to hear. You should be able to hear. What number are you? Here. Yes. Christ. What's happened? Anyhow,
there it is. What did you do?
I didn't do anything. Can you hear?
God, this never happened with Rod Law.
Can you hear? Can you hear through the headphones now? Can you?
Yes.
Can I hear? Yeah, I can hear me. So anyhow, Phoebe,
you're very anxious. What are you? Why are you so anxious? You get uptight every time Ben comes on. You're as bad as Fiona.
I tell you why I get uptight, Don, because
smiles, you get uptight.
I tell you why I get uptight.
Fiona gets dressed up too.
I'll tell. Well done, Ivan. Ivan's only said a couple of things today, but they've been pearls. He's crisp today. I tell you why I get uptight, Don, because while we don't mind, while we're a bit slack and we're not too professional, I always panic when someone rings in because I never know if it's being recorded because I don't know how to put it through on speakerphone. So I'm just tensing up now. But while I'm tensing up, I was just going to say something then. I was just going to say, can you tell me this? Now, I know this is not meant to be politically incorrect. You know when you see a speech or an interview on the television and you have a person stands right next to the person speaking and does that sign language. How?
Well, you were onto this a few years ago.
I know, I'm doing it again, Don, because...
No, they've dropped them. I haven't seen
them. I was watching a thing.
What was it?
The person doing it was more in front of the person speaking. It was the most annoying thing. If you're deaf, could you either turn the television up...
Hang on,
that's ridiculous.
If you're deaf, could you either turn the television up
your neighbours?
Hang on, Don. Well, that's right. Well, don't turn it up too loudly. Why in this stage of AI, artificial intelligence, as someone speaking...
AI? Artificial insemination, isn't it? Fiona, you're a farm girl.
Keep going, Sam. What is your point?
The horses.
Can you believe that?
Cattle and sheep.
Can you believe that? Of AI, I was saying, in this day and age of AI, not artificial insemination, Don, in artificial intelligence, Phoebe, couldn't they put the captions as the person speaks underneath what they're saying? They could do it in real time. They could do it in real time. A computer or a robot would dissect what the person's saying and print it out under the screen rather than having those ridiculous... people stand there with those hand signs.
Yeah, but what are they going to do for a job after that?
Well, they can. Learn to code and learn to work the artificial insemination machine, intelligence machine.
Don't you think Phoebe's horrified?
Don't you think?
I actually am horrified. That is really
what?
That's just. Why on earth would you be taking offence to people doing sign language?
It's not offence. What? It's so annoying. It's no need for it.
Honestly, you need to turn the TV off and go for a walk. That is just something that you should not be getting upset about. And I'm quite
shocked. What was
wrong
with my second suggestion about the artificial intelligence?
There are closed captions.
That's right. Why can't they, on real time, dissect what it's been saying and print it on the screen without having that ridiculous.
Appalling. I'm shocked that you're taking offence at this. I'm shocked.
It's just annoying. How about they at least split this? The person was standing in front of the person speaking. Well, I was watching. That is something that's just crept in, Phoebe. You could easily put captions under it, what the person's saying. Easily. Couldn't you?
It wasn't on your favourite Sky News, was it?
Do you know when the, you, if you want
we,
to send
we are, sp- we, Sam, if we are sitting here speechless.
If you, don't even.
No, we are. Like, no. Why on, this.
Well, I'll tell you, if you.
No, it's a good idea because,
there
I don't
are,
know.
No,
what,
there
I,
are captured, the majority of, now, help me with your, this, Ivan. The majority of TVs do have the.
Closed caption.
Yes, they do. They do have a closed captioning service. But, Sam, not everybody has TV. Perhaps a TV that is
if
going to do that.
If you haven't got a TV, you wouldn't be watching.
No, they do have TVs. But, you know, not perhaps not everybody has Phoebe. A closed caption feed on their TV.
I
or
know, I'm not tech savvy, but I know that if you speak into a... if
you
speak,
grump.
Listen to me. If you speak into your phone and want to send a text... You can speak into it and the text will come out in words on your phone.
Mm. It's only
Why
done
can't
for
they do that on the television?
It's only done in emergency situations, fire, flood,
what
whatever
is?
Else. Those people get up and
no, they
do the
don't.
They do.
Emergencies, I've watched them doing the whole speech of this bloke who was speaking on the television and I couldn't understand. It was so...
Well, the deaf people are going to say, why do you need to watch the TV anyway?
Where are you off to?
The deaf people would say, why do you need to watch the television anyhow? That's what the deaf would say. And
did you watch the football on the weekend?
No. Go ahead. Geelong and Hawthorn?
Yes.
No, but I listened to it. Eddie Maguire was on 3AW for the first time calling it. He's a very good caller, Eddie Maguire. Do you know why he's a good caller, Don? Because
he's a friend of yours?
Well, he's a friend of mine, but that's not why he's a good caller. He's a good caller because if there's a questionable decision, he will actually say that he doesn't think that's right. He makes a comment about it rather than people who are so scared not to say the wrong thing in case they get into trouble with the AFL. At least he mentions...
Okay, well, there was a ruck infringement.
Yes.
Did
good
you
one.
See it, Meek and Blizzard?
Is that where he put his knee up?
Yes.
I was listening to Eddie broadcast that and that's exactly what he said. Tony Shaw said, don't tell me you can't put your knee up in the ruck these days.
No, this is Go ridiculous. Ahead. There are a few things if you played the game that you just don't do.
All right, here he is.
What is Oop, going
this
on?
Been cut
this
off,
is him.
Don.
Come here.
I've been cut off
Come
here.
Here. Come here.
Oh, geez, he's in a panic. Fiona.
Doc, can you... Go on. Doc, which one? Roadcast.
There we go. That's it.
Can you hear us, Doc?
Oh, yes, mate.
Christ. Oh, good on you, Doc. How are you?
I'm very well, buddy. How are you?
Now you're limited.
You're not up and about, Ben. Something
Don't
wrong?
Shout, Don, please.
Have you started? Have you pressed the intro music yet? Or
no, Doc.
We got you, Doc.
Doc, we started early, hoping you would ring in, and then Phoebe, who's here, who is all a Twitter here.
Well, so are you. I don't know, Doc. You have got an effect over
shout.
Two people. Johnny over here gets really uptight, and there's a sense of relief as soon as he hears your voice on the microphone.
Well,
and,
you know,
and Fiona,
you know why that is.
Fiona was sitting away from us doing her work. As soon as she hears you're on, she's over with the laptop
Doc,
smiling like a Cheshire cat.
No good us getting the Doc on if you're not going to let him speak, Don.
No. I like to hear Don's theories on the world.
Your doctor, Ben Fordham, MD. MD meaning managing Don.
Don, do you know my theory behind what you've just suggested is going on? And that is that you should always leave people wanting more, right? Which is why I only turn up once a fortnight, right? So
know.
Therefore, you feel like, all right, I think we're ready for this bloke again. Whereas if I was there every week, you'd go, can this bloke just go away? So always leave people wanting more.
Well, it's certainly working on this podcast because he just gets uptight. And Fiona, she's smiling. She didn't have a smile on her face. She was not animated at all. Now she'll be up and around. Oh, jeez.
Now, listen, I've got absolutely no idea what's going on in the news because I'm having a week off. I mean, I do check in and follow a few pet topics so I know what's going
well,
on. But the world's still... The world's
well,
still spinning,
well,
everything's
I, well,
still working.
Well, down here in Melbourne, the biggest thing is the top 15 bachelors in Melbourne. The top 15.
Oh, jeez.
That is
any
the biggest news.
Children that's, included in the list?
Well, we've got our lordship over here, and he's 77. And just because he's got a boat and has wild parties on the boat in the middle of the bay,
and
he is an eligible bachelor.
And I can crank
Is that
up.
Right?
But he can't
yes, I can.
You cannot.
I can get it
you
up, Don.
You cannot. Don, you are useless.
If I speak to it severely and give it a nice beating, I can.
No, yeah.
Sorry, Doc.
And for anyone who's confused by what they're talking about, Sam can get the boat up onto the dock at any time that he needs to.
Correct.
Thank you, Ben.
There's absolutely no issue there, right, Fee? When
yes,
it comes
thank
to docking the boat, he can get it up.
Now,
right?
Doc, can I ask you this? You said...
Hang on. Let me jump in. Phoebe, can you please confirm...
Oh, Ben.
Is Sam on this list, the eligible bachelor list in Melbourne?
Number seven.
Well, there is a list that's been put together, and astonishingly, Sam is on it. And it was certainly a shock to him.
He's gone out and got another Kia colour. It's a, what would you call it, a sandy grey colour. It's definitely a shade lighter this week as a result of appearing in the paper today.
As opposed to a man who's as bald as a badger. Yeah, go ahead.
Phoebe, are you able to share with me who's number one through six? Yeah, or is that something you've got it?
I have it here in front of me, yes. So
who beat me?
Well, who beat you? It's not in order.
It's not in order. For male, it is in order for a male.
No, it's not. It's just a gathering of names. Okay, the other people on the list, Tommy Little, who is a terrific comedian,
a
little bit younger than Sam. Josh Pitterman, he's a musical theatre star. Matt Agnew,
he's
a man who was a former bachelor.
Oh, yeah, he's boring.
He's nice. I like him.
He's boring, is he, Doc?
Khan Ong. He's a chef. And he was on MasterChef.
I've never heard of any of these.
Well, no, nor have I.
Next
gone.
One.
I've heard
of Jason Dunstall.
Oh, yeah. You're joking.
Oh, yeah,
the
yeah,
chief.
Yeah. Dustin Martin.
Dusty.
Yeah. Martin. Oh, yeah, Dusty.
Oh,
yeah.
Dusty. Dusty yeah, and the
There's a
chief.
Reason why they're bachelors.
Mason Cox.
Another.
Clint Stanaway.
Who?
Yeah.
Ryan.
Oh, Clint Stanaway.
Yes, Ryan Pappenhausen.
Yeah, Ryan Pappenhausen. I didn't realise Clint Stanaway was single.
No, he's not single.
He's always got someone on the go.
Exactly.
Clint Stanaway.
But that means it doesn't, because you've got someone on the go, doesn't mean to say you're not a bachelor.
No, that's true.
No,
I just
he's
think he
taken. I don't think his lady would like to know that he's eligible, though.
There's a fellow called Felix von Hoff.
Oh, Felix von Hoff. Is he the ice bath bloke?
No, Felix was one of the bachelors from earlier this year.
Von Hoff, I thought that was a red
What a
Baron.
Boring and sad bunch of people those bachelors and bachelorettes are.
I'm just I'm just saying, Doc, I can understand why I'm on the list. I'm the only person I've ever heard of.
Anyone else on there, Phoebe, that we need to know about?
No, that'll about
what about
do it.
Don?
Don has failed to make the list.
How am I going with my application for Farmer Wants a Wife?
Sam and I are working on it.
Okay.
And the problem is, mate, is if you also show up on any police checks, then you just can't go on a program like that. So you can't
true.
Be on the Interpol watch list and on the Farmer Wants a Wife at the same time.
Now, Doc.
But, yes, sir.
I you couldn't come on. I know this is political, but you couldn't come on last week because there was a big crisis in the States because Trump was indicted or was taken to court.
Yep.
And why couldn't you come on? Did you discuss it in length on the show? Did you?
Yeah, we had we on a show like that. Sometimes we'll then go longer for our network programs, and it was all breaking, right? So I stayed with it, but you know, it was one of those loopy days in New York. He jumped on the plane from Florida, went to New York, got charged, got on the plane, went back to Mar-a-Lago and then hosted an event for all the Trump supporters. And now you've got this background play as a sideshow to the 2024 presidential race. And, you know, Trump once again has just played everything into his own hands because now he's front and center of the political discourse in the US. Everyone will be talking about Trump and what happens in the lead up to 2024. There is a bit of a lesson in it for people in that, you know, when you've stuffed up, you're better off not paying people off and exchanging money with them in the hope that they shut up, because in the end, Stormy Daniels didn't shut up. So, you know, and Trump still claims that he had no affair with Stormy Daniels. Well, I mean, there's a lack of believability when it comes to Donald Trump.
Well,
Bill
Clinton, Doc, said, I never had sex with that woman and got a
edge
job
and
under
in the end.
Yep.
And in the end, he said, I did have sex with that woman. That, I mean, the idea right. that Trump is still to this day saying that he didn't, even though he handed her $130,000 through his lawyer, Michael Cohen. You know, I mean, it's not the biggest crime in the world because they happen all of the time in politics.
It's not a crime at all.
In Hollywood, non-disclosure agreements, but, you know, there's a lesson in it for people that if you're running for politics, don't try and pay people to keep their mouth shut about things that actually happen.
Why would you believe Stormy Daniels, who says she did have sex with Trump, and why would and Trump said he didn't? Why do you believe her?
Because Trump is a gold medal liar who lies his way out of trouble the moment he's in any, and no one believes. You don't believe Donald Trump, do you, when he says that he didn't have a night of passion with Stormy Daniels? You don't believe that, really, do you, Sam?
I would.
You got him.
Well, got him.
I, Doc, please. I was going
but
to say.
But I mean, on the big right, picture thing, on the big picture thing, out of all of the things they could have nailed Trump on in a legal sense, this is the weakest of the lot, which is why Trump is quietly salivating and celebrating, because he'd be thinking of all of the things he has done and that he's got away with. Like a lot of people do who are in positions of power in politics.
Yes, like Joe Biden, like Bill Clinton.
Right, like Biden, like the Clinton Foundation, a whole range of them. We know them all. So, you know, he'd be relieved that this is the one that they've picked him on. But,
you know,
again,
them all.
I don't think anyone believes Trump.
You know them all, but they never highlight them as much as they do with Trump's indiscretions, because they are so biased, you know, and corrupt.
Yeah, I mean, you have a look at the Clinton Foundation, you have a look at Bill getting on the plane with Jeffrey Epstein and going off to the island and all of the hanging out with Prince Andrew and everyone else who was over there. I mean, there's all sorts of shady things that have gone on, but Trump is still in the game and he still wants to be president. And I think that he'd do a lot better going forward if he once in a blue moon said, you know what, I was wrong on that, or I didn't tell the truth on that. Because when you're going into an election campaign, you are relying on a degree of trust. And last time around, he didn't have to worry about that because he was new and he was clean and he was fresh. This time around, people know that when Donald Trump says something, there's a chance that he's not telling the truth. And that's going to make his run to the White
that
House
is
challenging in 2024.
That is extraordinarily biased. You listen to the man, the completely corrupt and hopeless man that's running that country. He tells more lies in a sentence than Trump has in his lifetime.
Yeah, well, I mean, Joe Biden, I think Joe Biden is not known to be a succinct and accomplished communicator. He is he's a failure in that department, and you look at him and you think,
dementia.
All right. Yeah, you feel like getting a cardigan and wrapping it around him and you know, turning the TV on and saying, quick, you know, there's a game show on, Granddad, tune in and have a look, right? I mean, I know that that's the problem with Joe Biden, but I think Trump's truthness is going to be a problem for him, and that's why. In politics and in life, we all benefit from once in a while saying, hey, just on that one that I have been denying, it's time that I fessed up to it.
You know this as well as I do, Doc. If you're caught in the nest, you never admit it until someone actually springs you on top.
I've got no experience with that, Sam.
Thank
but
you,
I'll,
Doc.
I'll write all of those notes down, Phoebe. And can you just explain what he said? If you're caught in the nest with someone you're not supposed to, you deny it. Is that what he was saying?
Unless
Ben,
the person
I
walks
haven't
in.
Been. The minute I heard the word Trump, I just tuned out. Sorry.
Okay. And let me just. Can I share my own advice for being caught in the nest? Can I share some advice, Phoebe? Maybe with you, we could talk one on one about this for a moment.
Please, Ben. Yes.
And that is that when you decide to get married, you're making the biggest decision of your life. So as I say to any young blokes out there who say to me, I'm thinking of popping the question, and I go, how old are you? And they go, 23. I go, mate, seriously. Unless there's some religious reason for this, and even if there is, my strong recommendation would be to go out there, fall in love, fall out of love, break a few hearts, have your heart broken a few times, and then really sow your wild seeds, have the time of your life, as much fun as you can, and then once you've exhausted all of those desires, and then you really settle on the person who you want to spend the rest of your life with, then you know that there's only two people who are ever going to be found in that nest.
You got
to
stop,
and you don't need to worry about other people coming.
You got to stop this chat.
So excellent advice,
Phoebe,
Ben.
Phoebe has fallen off a chair. She's lying on the Axminster at the minute. You've fizzed her up a treat.
Now, listen,
I couldn't live my life. This is the thing, right? I mean, there were times in my life when, you know, you'd have a girlfriend and you were conscious that there was someone else in the picture as well, and then you may not have entirely broken it off with the ex-girlfriend, and it would be so stressful because you'd be constantly thinking, when's the phone going to ring? When's the phone going to beep? When am I going to get caught here? I haven't been entirely truthful. And look, don't get me wrong. I was able to manage that here and there for a while when I was a young bloke. But then you reach a stage in life where you go, you know what? I need to be able to sleep at night. And I just, that's not going to be conducive to me having a good life if I'm worried about who's calling.
I'm told you were that busy you had to put a boy on in your youth.
Now, what about Michael?
You know, there's a word for that. It's called fizzling.
John.
Thank you. Yes, John. Now, listen, what we're getting is little snippets down here, but Michael Clark is in the news down here with his affair. Is he being unfairly targeted or his life being exposed?
Well, Clarky's back up in Noosa on holidays at the moment, and I know that Carl Stefanovic is there as well. And Jade Yarbrough is there as well. And if you've been following the drama, as I'm sure Phoebe probably
they were all
involved in that earlier melee in Noosa when Clarkie and Carl and Jade and everyone else got involved. But look, I'm sure that they'll be toning down their holiday celebrations at Easter time because the last time they went to Noosa, it was very costly for everyone involved. But yeah, Clarkie, I think... I don't know how to put it in cricketing terms, but I think he might have been playing test matches and one days all at the same time. And his schedule overlapped a little bit. I think it landed him in a bit of trouble.
That's extremely well put, Ben.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, I just think he might have been stretching himself just a little bit. But look, again, I'm not a witness to what goes on in the bedroom.
But you'd know.
Ben, can I just say, speaking of the fact that Michael Clark is back in Noosa, I did laugh because yesterday he put a post up on his Instagram account of himself with, it looks like some family members, and the caption read, "Back in Noosa, a little more wholesome this time." So, look, you know, if he can laugh at himself, I've got to give him points for that.
You got to have a laugh, and, you know, I mean, last time around it was just
shocking.
It was just crazy, taking the shirt off and throwing punches and using the C-bomb and everything else. I mean, and at one stage, you know, he's accused of hooking up with another girl and lining up another one, and he said, "I swear on my daughter's life," and I think that was one of those lines that when it left his mouth, he would have been thinking to himself, "If I could only get that line back." But anyway, everyone deserves a second chance, or in the case of someone like Sam, everyone deserves a tenth chance.
It's the Doc, please.
Who can we line up for Melbourne's hottest bachelor? That's what we should be working out, Phoebe. Who are the women out there in Melbourne, or should we cast the net even further wide, Australia-wide? Are the women out there who we could line up for a catch-up at some stage with Sam Newman?
There's one down at Beach Road. I know she doesn't have a partner. No, she sleeps down there on the sidewalk.
The woman's back again. That
yeah. The possum.
The pile of compost is still back.
No. The possum.
Next topic, then. Keep moving.
Well, who can we find? Who is there out there?
Just listen.
You know someone who I've just thought of?
I know. I've thought of someone. And I'll tell you why. The person who doesn't like me could give an honest appraisal of how I'd go out in the marketplace would be your wife. If you introduce me to her, she could look at me, speak to me and say, "How could this person possibly be in the bachelor stakes?" Mm. Or she might say, "Look, do you know what? I've met him. It seems to be quite a nice type of a cove."
Mm.
No?
Yeah, look, she's she'll be rearranging her sock drawer on the on the day that you need her to give you some assistance with your love life. Right. But I've come up with a name, and I'll just put it out there. And I don't want anyone to react to it too quickly because I just think, you know, don't jump to conclusions because sometimes opposites attract. Ida Buttrose.
What?
Ida Buttrose. How old is Ida?
Ida Buttrose is, as far as I know, single. She works in the media business.
How very, very, very well accomplished
and intelligent woman. Sam Newman.
Power couple.
Works in the media, very intelligent. I mean, I don't know. I just think
just off the top of your head, Doc, how do you reckon I'd go if I gave Ida a ring?
If you were to give Ida a call, I think she would be charmed beyond belief that you called.
Have you got a number?
And yes, I do.
Well, send it down.
Okay.
I might do it on air.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. No.
Look, now, if we're going to set Sam up with someone, he's going to have to be in a better mood in the morning than he is today because he's been terribly grumpy from the minute I've walked in here.
Do you know why I was grumpy, Doc?
Why?
Because Phoebe mentioned something in the paper that she heard on this podcast last week, and in the paper it said, as heard on Wednesday. It didn't say, as heard on, you cannot be serious. But she corrected that. She did put it in the copy and the editor took it out.
Oh, he did not. Anyway, so these small things bug him. And that this is why he
Asperger's.
Would...
Asperger's. It's Asperger's.
This is a trait that needs to get ironed out if you're going to find him a partner.
Is this editor who he said he better watch himself, otherwise he's going to lose our support?
Oh, no. Now, just stop. Just stop.
I'm just stirring things up for you,
Phoebe. I know you are. You're stirring things up.
You know I am.
You're not on next week, are you? Which means I won't be here next week.
Doc, no. Is Ida tracking square at the minute?
Oh, look, I'm not.
Could you make a call? Could you make a call?
How old is she?
Don't worry about that.
I don't know.
Love covers all that.
I like younger women.
Let's deal with that off air. Let's deal with that one off air. So that's one idea we've got. And if anyone else has got any ideas, if you could just leave your messages below the Instagram post that Sam puts up today.
She got a lot of money, Ida.
Who should Sam be hooking up with? And not even hooking up with, just catching up with.
What about
sharing ideas, having a conversation.
Oh, Ben.
Keeping each other warm.
Ben, yes. Talk to us about Kerri-Anne Kennelly and I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Have you been watching it?
No, I haven't been watching it, but I'm not surprised that Kerri-Anne was in and out pretty quickly because she's not the type of person who would suffer in the jungle for too long and would want to be hanging around some of those narcissistic fools who tend to turn up on that show. So Kerri-Anne would have banked a lot of money, got in, got out. She had a special rule in place that she was allowed to wear makeup when no one else was allowed to wear makeup.
Really?
So she's a shrewd negotiator. But she would have been in and out, banked a bit of money and on her way. She is a fantastic woman, Kerri-Anne Kennelly, and I owe her a lot because she's been a great supporter of mine over many years. And now that I think about it, there's another one we can add to the list. So we've got Ida Buttrose and Kerri-Anne Kennelly as potential dates for Sam Newman. Gee. So the list just keeps on growing.
I'm sitting next to someone who was sounded out about going on I'm a Celebrity.
I was.
Really?
Yep.
Yes. Guess who that might be, Ben?
Sam?
Oh, sorry.
Correct. Sam?
What do they offer?
Well, we didn't get down to that because the person who interviewed me said, did I like mixing with people or going out camping or things that annoyed me? And I said, no to all that. And they said, you could be perfect or you might not be. So that was the last I heard from them.
Could you imagine, Ben? Sam hates pretty much everything being stuck in a jungle.
I'm a bit like Kerri-Anne Kennelly. Putting up with numbskulls speaking crap to you for most of the time you're there, I'd have a written-in clause.
Steve Price went in there. You may remember Pricey went in there, and Pricey's a grumpy thing, and he managed to kind of, reshape his image a little bit and have a bit of fun when he was in there. And, so never say never to something like that, but if I was going to go on one of those shows, it'd have to be Survivor. Survivor is the show you want to go on.
No, Gogglebox is the one you want to go on.
Oh, Gogglebox, easy. You're sitting on the couch. But, I love the competitiveness of Survivor. But we're having to eat all those things like they make you do on I'm a Celebrity. I mean, that's just disgusting. I couldn't do any of that stuff where they all of a sudden say, this is a donkey's penis and we're putting it in front of you and you've got to have it for dinner. I mean, seriously.
I'd like to see someone eat that. Doc.
Yes, sir.
How about this for a long shot? What about you ask Ida to go on Married at First Sight and then I could come onto the show and maybe it could be a reality thing. I could meet Ida on Married at First Sight and we might get through to the semis without dropping a set.
Yeah, yeah. Let me make some inquiries off air over the next few days or so, and I'll report back in a fortnight.
Yeah, what a man. This is extraordinary. Yeah. Now I'm getting excited now, Doc. This is...
Oh, good. Now, listen, I've got to love you and leave you because I've got to go and look after the kids and everything. They're climbing all over the play equipment here. So
where's Jodie?
I know. Jodie's here as well. She's supervising, but I just don't want to leave her post.
She's not listening to this, is she?
No. She listens back secretly afterwards. I know she does. So just let me say to her, I love you, honey, because I know that you secretly listen to this every single week. Love yous all.
Good
happy
on
Easter,
you, mate.
Ben.
See
bye.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, see you, Phoebe. Bye.
Oh, Phoebe. All right, good. Right, and now he would be off, wouldn't he? Would he be off?
Yeah, you heard the beep, beep, beep.
No, but I'm just never know. Someone else might ring. So, all right, now, well, there you are, Phoebe. That's Ida Buttrose. Gee whiz.
No, Kerry Ann.
Maybe you could, Kerry Ann and Ida, we could fly them down and you could go out with Kerry Ann and I could go out with Ida and we see how we go. We might swap.
Oh.
No, I don't mean swap as in, I don't mean swap. I just mean Kerry might say.
Tracy Grimshaw.
Kerry Ann Kenley might say, gee, Don's a bit of a dunderhead. And Ida might say the same about me. And I'll say, well, look, why don't you go out to dinner with Don tonight, Ida? And I'll go out with and then you never know. You mix and match, Don.
What else is on your list, Sam?
All right. Well, now, what's on my list? I'll tell you what's on my list. I'll tell you what's on my list. I'll just find my list. Here you go. Where is it? No, I'll tell
I
you what's...
I think this Ida Buttrose thing has got you flustered.
No. I want to know, Fiona, the emails you were sending for guests, how are we going for those? You work very hard at the Grand Prix.
Dear idea, Paulie.
Paulie? We haven't had a reaction?
Look...
Did you try someone and they said, oh, I wouldn't go on that show?
No one has said no, but it's just, you know, I've sent out a couple of emails. People will come back in their own good time. It's Easter. People are away. If it's meant to be, it's meant to be.
This won't appeal. This will appeal to a lot of people who are golfers and listen to this because we have quite an eclectic listening audience, Don. This really ticks people off. So it was brought to my attention that 12 golfers, that's four fours, you're playing fours, 12 golfers, that's actually 16, isn't it? Three fours, turned up at this golf club and they had got permission to play there and they rented the carts and the green fees and lunch was included in the tariff, which was a fair amount of money. And they went and bought some balls and gloves and knitwear from the pro shop. And they got out, and just before they got into the carts, one of the people behind the desk said, oh, could I just advise you that the greens, you know what the greens are, where you putt, have been sanded, cored and aerated. If you are a golfer, you just don't play on a golf course that's been sanded, aerated and cored because it's like putting on a corrugated tin roof and it ruins the game. So they said, you'd be joking. Couldn't you have told us that before we rented the carts and the things? And they said, no, we're going to get in the bus and drive home. Give us our money back. And a huge fracas erupted because they'd paid by credit card and the club said, well, so do you think they have a case? Do you think they are correct in wanting their money back because the greens have been sanded and cored and they weren't told, because that ruins your game, Don. Right. Anyhow, I can see that you can't wrap
Look,
your head
if,
around
if
that.
We're doing Golf Weekly, here we go. This was a rumour that was confirmed on 3AW last week and I thought it was a pretty good story, actually. Crows have been tormenting golfers at the Maldon Golf Club for weeks.
Yep.
This was a terrific story. So the birds have been swooping down and snatching golf balls, leaving golfers frustrated with their antics. So the club has had to take some form of action to try and scare off the crows.
I can tell you, Phoebe, Dermot Brereton would tell you they're probably not crows, they're ravens. Because I said, this is what happens, Dan, when we're playing golf. The ravens are so smart, if you leave your cart to go and putt, they search your cart and your bag for food. I've seen them take... you think I'm making this up. I've seen the ravens on the top of the cart looking for food and I've seen them with their beak take the zips down of the compartments that you have your food in your golf bag. I've seen them do it. They are as smart as a whip.
You know what they do? I won't tell you.
What do they do?
Well, my uncle was telling me when I was a boy how they attack lambs.
Take their eyes.
Mm, they're very smart.
What do you
well,
mean?
Well, one grabs the tail.
Yes, Don.
And when it's bleeding, they grab its tongue.
I see. And don't, so and peck their talk. Eyes out. Well, how savoury. If you're just sitting down to some morning tea.
this is lovely.
Yeah. What, Phoebe, has we got onto a topic that... Was
no,
good.
I did give you a side high just then, because I was wondering what on earth you were about to come out with. But go on, please.
No, it's a very good thing. I'm glad you mentioned about the crows or ravens. Dermot, if you play golf with Dermot Brereton, do you know this, Don? Dermot is a shooter. He's got guns, and he goes up and he shoots anything that's got a heart and lungs. If it's moving, he shoots it. But
what kind of gun?
Oh Christ, he's got
all of them,
an arsenal. Don. When you play golf with Dermot Brereton, he will comment on the flora and fauna as you go around. I don't know if he makes it up or not, but he fools the people he plays golf with. He says, look at that. That's a wobble-bellied gongolock over there. And I say, is it, Dermot, a wobble-bellied gongolock? And then he says, and see that eagle? He can spot kestrels and eagles, and he says they're hovering, waiting to get a rabbit or a vole. Oh, do you know what a vole is? It's a rat. It's a mouse. He can explain flora. He says that is a hybrid of a frangipani right there, and beside it is a little golden tit, which is a bird, which gets the honey out of the. He is extraordinary. Golf is incidental to him.
I thought he was up the Gold Coast,
and he's a very good. But he Dermot Brereton is up the Gold Coast.
No, he's looking at the golden tit.
Golden tit, Ivan. As I say, a brevity of words, but some of them very sharp when he comes out with them. God, fucking hell. What we're going to do is, Phoebe, anything else, Dale, or have you just come in to speak to Ben?
I just came in to speak to Ben.
Oh, and listen to the voice. I just came in to speak to Ben. What, that's
and do my emails.
You should get on voice recordings for Scott. What do you call them? Grind. What is it called?
Grinder.
No. The other one. What's it called?
The GPS.
Yes. Hello, you've rung for me. If you're having trouble with dating, give me a call. I might be able to get you to the starting post.
Well, I would like a cup of coffee if we're taking a break. So, right. Don, can you sort that out, please?
I've got a coffee for you. So we're closing off now.
And did I smell toast when I walked in here?
What do you want, breakfast?
Well, it felt like I was walking into a cafe.
Look, Ivan's run up some pheasant under glass out there in the oven. He'll
simmering away.
Fucking toast. Right, here we go. Now, and then we're coming back with, if she's still up for it, Katie Little. So now what am I doing, Don? I'm doing this.
Late at night, I'm worried because you ain't